Okay, we begin continuing from last week. Last week we were discussing, we began to discuss about the Asaras HaShvatim. We started with the Gemaras in Sanhedrin. And we went with one of the first accounts of someone claiming to be from Asaras HaShvatim, which was Elder Hadani, and I spoke at great length all about the Sefer, how most people from the time period where he came till as late as in the throughout many Rishonim, most Rishonim accept it as completely authentic, and we'll be getting back to some points of the Sefer shortly. Okay, let me see, is the volume better now? Are you able to hear it better? Is the volume better? Is the volume better now? Now is the volume better? Is the volume okay? Okay, I'll speak. Is it clear now? Okay. Very good. Now, so continuing on with the Asaras HaShvatim, we have in the we have the famous story of the Baal Agdamas. In Shavuos, everyone knows there's a custom to say Agdamas. Lots been written about why we say it. Question is, who authored it? So we know. We know that it's written by Rameir by Yitzchak Shatz. He seemed to have been a great Makubal. He was Rashi, it seems. Rashi quotes him in various places in Nach. And he is the author of Agdamas. Just to mention, and basically there was a whole story that which involves him having to go find the Sambatim and go to the other side of the Sambatim, and he had to remain on the other side of the Sambatim. This story is a very famous legend throughout history. One of the earliest printed sources we have is from about 400 years ago, and recently in the Mishpacha magazine in Hebrew has a monthly, in the Hebrew part, comes out once a month, there is a section called Kulmas. In the Kulmas there was an article written, issue 26, there was an article written by Isaac Bloy about that he found the early manuscript, but not also going back a few hundred years in Yiddish, with a different version of the story, but basically what the point of the story is that the Sambatim is involved and this Rameir Shatz had to go to the other side of the Sambatim. Now, we definitely know about this Rameir Yitzchak. Avram Grossman is Luk Chachmei Ashkenaz of Rishonim, talks about him, discusses, he brings together most of the evidence we know about him, but here again we have that the story which of him going to the other side and having to remain there and whatever else, that the there's various legends about it, but that's not the discussion. The point is that we have another very early source accepting of the Sambatim as a legend, and that he supposedly went to the other side. Okay, fine. Next, you mentioned that there's many travels, numerous travels from the times of the Rishonim throughout Achronim. Many of them were collected by Eisenstein, famous compiler of many different things. One of them is most famous for his work Eitzei Yisrael, encyclopedic work. Multi-volumes, and one of them, he also collected, and then he collected all different types of things, such as various debates in the times of Rishonim. He also discussed the various travels. He gathers all the various travels in something called Eitzim Asayis. That's another thing. Then, besides this, he has something. And besides for him collecting travels, other people also collect the travels. Most notably, Avram Yari, the famous bibliographer and expert on Sfarim, who authored many works. So one of his many of his works related to Eretz Yisrael, some of which we'll see today. One of them is called Masoyis Eretz Yisrael, a nice fat volume, available on Hebrew Books. And also, there's many travels. Now, what's interesting about many of these travels, all the way back from the Shainim, is one of the things that they were looking for, we see, is they were looking for Nasaras HaShvatim. Just to mention some of them throughout history. One of the earliest travels that we have that came down to us is from somewhere of Psachia. We know he lived in the time of Rabbeinu Tam. And he had a very interesting travel, we recorded it. Some other points we perhaps will get to a different time. But one of the things that he mentions in the middle of the travel is looking for some bathroom. Now, this work was printed in many different editions. As I said, it's one of the first travels that we have, so it's printed all the way back in the beginning of 1595, but there's many, many editions of it. Very recently, about 10, 15 years ago, a critical edition of it was printed based on new manuscripts by Avram David. Avram David spends a lot of time discussing, writing about all aspects of history of Eretz Yisrael from early times until much more recent. And he put out a critical edition of the Sefer, and he, based on new manuscript evidence, which shows his new important differences, and includes this work with an extensive introduction. In the introduction, he writes that the reason why he feels, why did the Sefsach even go for this trip? He writes, he cannot assume that he went to be Oyle Regel, which is its own discussion, which there are also many sources of many of the various travelers that was one of their big concerns, because he made it his business to travel all over. So he feels that one of the strong reasons why he did go was because he was looking for the lost Shvatim and Nisamah. That is another early source. There's a different, there's a Sefer called Sefer Zechronos. This Sefer, in English, there's an English version of it, it's called Sefer Zerubbabel. It was printed in the 1300s. It's a manuscript collection of many different Chazals, especially that we don't have from any other place, but it's in the form of a history. So it deals with the times of the others, Mitzvahs Mitzrayim, and all different things. It's based on many, many different Midrashim that he saw. We're talking in the 1300s. Some of them we have not been able to collaborate with other sources. It's written in a very historical, in the order of history, of when different things happened. And recently was printed in a critical edition about less than 10 years ago by Ali Yassif, who's an expert in Jewish folklore. And he also, in this book, we find a collection of stories and midrashim about Aseres HaShvatim, that he also, we're talking, the book was first written in the 1300s, is going back earlier. So we see that from the time period of Eldar Adonis, the story did take off, and there was many, many that believed and were concerned with the Aseres HaShvatim. Moving on a little later, another famous traveler, who was not only a famous traveler, but he was a famous Gadol, was Gadol Dar at his time, and until today he's one of the most famous people that in Jewish history. People all over the world use his works daily, and that is Rav Avadya Bar Tanur. He made also a trip to Eretz Yisrael. On his way he saw other places, and he wrote an excellent account of what he saw, and even when he got to Eretz Yisrael, about Eretz Yisrael, in three letters. Maybe there's even a fourth letter. Now, interestingly enough, in one of the letters, he talks about that he's very concerned, but the Rashti b'inyan nar sambatza. He heard all about it, and he says, he was very concerned, he was very interested, so to speak, to find out where it was. And he made many inquiries about it, but he never got concrete evidence. He heard all types of rumors about it, but he never got concrete evidence where it is. He traveled a lot until he got there to Israel. So it's interesting, later on he talks about it, he says, he met some Jews, and he says that they told him, from reliable Arab merchants, in a certain place, that's where the Nar Sambatim is. And he says, the famous legend, which we mentioned last week, about throwing stones, there's no one that's over Avera. That this is a fact. Specifically, Rav Echad Zok and Ashkenazi, Ashkenazi and Skalb and Nina Zeski, Zok and Mimi Harpai, Kashabah Yehudim Achim, Eretz Adon, Kedar Shabal Eilu, Tzim Azeb Eshavah, Bli Tzir Hazar, and he collaborated this with all the people. Basically, make a long story short, in those days, to say in the times of the Bar Tanura, going back a few hundred years, he spoke to different people, claimed that they 100% saw and knew where the Sambatim was located, and knew that there was the Bnei Maisha on the other side. Now, he doesn't mention in either of the two places where he discusses the Aseres HaShvatim, but it sounds like that's what the Aseres HaShvatim is there also. Now, another early travel from that period of time, also printed in a critical edition by the same Avram David, is from Ramesha Basilo. Ramesha Basilo made he traveled to Jerusalem in the year 1521 to 1523, He also, one of the things that he was concerned with was about the Seira of the Aseres HaShvatim and the Nar Sambatim. He also heard and consulted with different people, and they told him, they swore they knew where it is, and it's a faraway place. Make a long story short, here again we have that in his period of time it was an accepted fact that it existed. And that the Jews were over there. And okay. Now this is we have another early source. This is in Sefer Kavod Elohim from Avram Ibn Migash. He writes that he brings down that it was in Taman. He heard in some far out places. They say that there's a whole massive kingdom of the Jews and Jews existing in Taman, in that area. Okay. Now, moving onward a little into the next era of history, we have the Mari Mayim, who in general we know is very cynical. He didn't accept stories of The Mari Nayim, written by Rezarim and Adayim, which was a controversial work in its time, he did not accept he felt certain times that based on historical evidence or stuff or similar reasons, he did not find Chazal, what they were saying to be true, what he thought to not be true, he would argue on it, especially in historical discussions. Now, based on evidence, it would seem that he should have said, oh, you know, Sarasar Shvatim, he would be the first person to be very cynical about it. And no, he is not cynical at all about it. He also seems to say that it was completely true. He also, interestingly enough, relies on the Sefer Elder Hadvani, mentioned earlier, and that is what that's his opinion on the matter. We have the Maral who actually came out very strong against the Sefer Maranayim over here on this topic, where he talks about Sarasar Shvatim, which is one of the questions which many ask is no Sarasar Shvatim, if we can't find the Sarasar Shvatim, so how could you say that they do exist? So to this, the Maral, and we'll see more about this later on, but the Maral says, V'yesh b'nei adam oimim, v'shachachmei umar esim shachasu makam u'makam u'chol yishuvaris, v'ein oit shum makam shalim nirshim b'sifreim v'akol noidelehem. We already know, and this is the Maral talking in his time, we know the geography of the world, we know where everything is, and there's no mention of the Sarasar Shvatim. So how could we say that, oh, there is something called a Sarasar Shvatim? Vein Raya Misham Bishol Dabar Zeh. Hevel Yipotze Piyam. Ki Epsher Ve Epsher Shi Yimakam Echo Barat Shaloi Neidelehem. Lefi, Shemachsa Gaitim In Yishuv Ahara Mechiyot Zeh. Varei Amru. And interestingly, he alludes to the following. Shemikarv Nimtza Macham Echo Karim Oisei Belashem Oilom Chodesh Shaloi Neidem Mikaitem. Something known as the New World that we did not know about up till now. Chach Epsher Shi Yimtza Macham Oichei Shem Bnei Yotem Di Epsher Lovay Aleim. Now, he's not saying that they're in America, which we'll see about that in a minute, but just like they did, you're telling me that they mapped out everything, they didn't. Look what just happened, they discovered America. It could be there's another place. So again, the Maral is taking it literal, they do exist, it doesn't bother me that we cannot find them. This is what the Maral has to say on that. His student, the Tzemach David, is the subject of a very interesting book from Andrei Nir. Not only was his name was Reb David Gams, he was a historian, and he was an expert in astronomy, and he also was very into geography. Now, it's unclear. It seems he writes that he was planning on writing a work about this topic, but he never got. But for some reason, we don't know why, he never got around to it. Speculation. Nir has some speculation why not, but we don't really know why he did or didn't get to writing the Sefer that he promised. Could be he did, it was lost. Now, one of the most famous works on this topic is from Reb Menashe ben Yisrael. Menashe ben Yisrael wrote a work, and this work was mentioned by Tzimtzus HaNefesh, where he the name of the Sefer is called Mikvei Yisrael. Mikvei Yisrael is also available on Hebrew Books. It was recently put out in a critical edition, recently meaning to say almost 20 years ago, from the company Kibbutz Muchad, but it is still available. And there is a somewhat critical edition of the Sefer. In this Sefer, he deals with where are the Sarasar Shvatim, he deals with all the Sugya, he deals with all the Hadani, and he brings all different stories and sources from all over, Jewish literature, non-Jewish literature, where they are. From everything up to the period of time. He then goes, after all the information, he writes that he feels that where are they? They are in America. The Indians in America. And that is what his conclusion. The Sefer is approximately 20 chapters, where he goes through at length, as I mentioned, all the different things and all the different sources on the topic, and that's his conclusion. So it's interesting. Here we have a moment ago mentioned the Maral. Maral does not say that that's what the Sefer Shlachtim is. He just says that, oh, there's something called America, and America is possible, that we see from the discovery of America that there were parts of the world that they did not know about. Actually, Israel goes further and says that's where they are. Now, there's been much in recent times. There have been many articles on these topics. As I mentioned last week, there's an incredible amount of literature from Jews and non-Jews alike on the topic of where the Eretz Yisrael are, and all different corners of the world have been explored, and all different similarities they find, and there has been articles written showing all similarities between the Indians and the Jews, and possibly they do come. Okay, that is Rav Moshe ben Yisrael's opinion on the matter. Now, in about 1635, there was a sefer called Gelilas Eretz Yisrael. It was written by Gershon Segel. This work from 1635 and onwards is printed numerous times in all different languages: Hebrew, English, Yiddish. I'm not sure English, but Hebrew and Yiddish. And it was about Eretz Yisrael. Now, interestingly enough, the author never went to Eretz Yisrael, but he took from all, as I mentioned, there was many travels written. He took all those, incorporated, and made his own additions and different things. And yet, one of his parts, he also embellishes on the Eretz Yisrael, where they are and where to find them. And when you read the book, it's not clear that he didn't go there. But this is what we today know, after studying this book very carefully, that he was, and knowing the history of this person, we know that he didn't go. But he also, again, mentions in his book, was very popular. It's popular because it was printed many, many times. We know that it was very popular because of its the amount of times it's printed. Now, moving back to America for 1 minute, there is the Chidah in his travels, which was supposedly not supposed to be printed, called Magal Tov. I believe at one point it was printed in an edited edition. And he also talks about traveling. He went all over. And he brings down that he heard, we are the Aseret HaShvatim. Also, he brings in, he heard, someone told him, he was sitting at a table, and someone told him that they're in America. No, I'm sorry, he's not there in America. Oh, no, someone told him that some of them are in America. And someone else told him that they're in China. Again, China is another possibility where they are. Okay, one second. Ari Morgenstern has written about the topic, so it comes up many times in his various svarim, and he has written about where the Aseret HaShvatim are. At one point, each time he deals with it, he repeats what he says, and he adds on a lot of important points based on new information that he discovers from the time that he wrote about it previously. He's written about it at least 4 or 5 times. One of the most recent places he's written about it is in a volume that came out from Bar Ilan called Hagra Ubeis Midrashai. It was printed a few years back. And in there he has an article about where the Aseret HaShvatim. Some of the parts we'll be discussing more shortly. But he brings down from a Reb Yosef. From a Reb Yitzchak Niato that wrote to the Jews in China, that he heard this letter was written in 1769. He previously Morgenstern had printed other letters from this this Rabbi Yitzchak Miato to the Jews of China, and then recently he discovered another in JTS, another letter, where an in-depth letter to the Jews of China with a series of 9 questions in depth. What do you do? Such as, do you believe in Hashem Yisbarach? How many days was Chodesh? Yom Tovim, what do you do? What do you have as far as the Torah? And all different questions he asked them. What type of Nevi'im do you have? Nevi'im? Where do you have the halachas from? And he wrote to the Jews of China, because already then, which is a similar time as the Chidah is talking about, that there was a rumor that the Jews of China were the Aseres Hashvatim. Now, just to mention quickly, there was some other periods of time that the Jews, there was some other periods of time that, there were some other sources of Jews being very concerned about where the Aseres Hashvatim were and the Sambatim. Interestingly enough, one of them is found in the Ramchal. The Ramchal had a Magid, which was a very controversial discussion. Basically, the Ramchal, today we know, very famous person, author of Masechus Yesharim, Derech Hashem, well, many other works, but in his lifetime, there was a very strong opposition against him. One of the reasons was because supposedly he was teaching Kabbalah, he was learning Kabbalah and teaching Kabbalah to people of very young age. Others have explained that the reason why there was such strong opposition against him for doing this is they were very nervous, because this was similar to what had happened a little earlier than Ramchal, the time of Shas Tzvi, and what happened in that period of time was that we had a young person teaching people Kabbalah, he was teaching Kabbalah, and bad things ended up happening. So they're very scared that this could possibly end up being another Shas Tzvi. Now, one of the things that got them very nervous, the Gedolim at that time, was he claimed he had a Magid. We're going to be discussing more about a Magid in general, but a Magid basically means, on a simple level, is a voice starts speaking from him. He, according to some sources, the person loses conscious and a voice starts speaking. He could even start writing, and we have many smarim that the Ramchal claimed. He was writing Torah that he got from the Magid. We have them today. Now, in this controversy about Ramchal, we would not have known too much about the controversy of Ramchal, until in the 1930s, someone was working on, he was looking to write a topic to look on to write a doctorate. He approached the librarian at JTS at that time, I believe it was Yitzhak Rifkin. If there's any information about the Ramchal, unpublished information, he said, yeah, I think we have a stack of letters, I'm not sure what they are, about the Ramchal. They went and uncovered it, and it turns out that this was a correspondence, someone involved in the controversy about the Ramchal collected as many letters in order of what the Gedolim pro the Ramchal, what the Gedolim against the Ramchal, what the Ramchal said in a lot of cases on this controversy. This was then printed at that period of time in the 1930s, in what's known as Igros Ramchal. It was just printed by Tel Shimon Ginsberg, and in a critical edition. Interestingly enough, a few years back, a Frum edition of it was printed, where a lot of parts were edited out. The reason why they were edited out is the editor, someone who lived in Bati Ungarn, one of the Frumest neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, felt that it can't be that the Ramchal said some of the things in these letters. So he took out, not based on manuscript information, not saying that Ginsberg read a manuscript wrong, or he found another manuscript that would say against this, what he decided doesn't belong there, which is pretty silly. And more recently, it was printed again in a complete edition. Now, in these letters, one of the discussions is if the Maggid had a Maggid. And what was said, and the Beis Yosef said, I'm having a Maggid. He told him, maybe you think it's a Maggid, but it's not really a Maggid, because a Maggid doesn't come outside of Eretz Yisrael, something we'll also discuss. And he was not in Eretz Yisrael at the time. And they were trying to tell him, maybe it's some, how do you say, evil voices, so to speak, that are speaking to you, not good voices. And he insisted that it's not a problem. Now, we have, Meir Ben Yo printed a lot of the different discussions that the Maggid of the Beis Yosef said, and what we have recorded. One of them was about the Aseres HaShvatim, and interestingly enough, he said that the Aseres HaShvatim have something that is like the Sefer HaZayar, and they have Kabbalah already way back. Okay, we'll see. This is going to tie in shortly. Others that were, interestingly enough, not only were the from, we have sources that the Maskilim, such as Rav Naftali Wiesel, not clear if he really is a Maskil, but assuming he is a Maskil, his father, his other family members of his, and other Maskilim were very involved, also that Aseres HaShvatim, it seems very much accepted in history that it was true. A little later, is the Tuas Ha'aretz, Sefer, which we mentioned a few times in the past, Rav Yosef Schwartz, who wrote all that Eretz Yisrael. Now, in the Sefer Tuas Ha'aretz, which is all that Eretz Yisrael, he does not discuss Aseres HaShvatim. But in the 1850s, he released the English edition, which had had many editions, and in the back, there's a whole chapter of eyewitness accounts that he interviewed different people, told them, again, we know it's over there, it's over here, and that was that. Again, this is discussed at length by Avram Hiari in his work, Shluch Eretz Yisrael. And again, see that it was accepted as a simple fact. We have also the Evan Sapir, Rabbi Yaakov Sapir, another famous traveler who went to Taman. And he also discusses Aseres HaShvatim. He spoke to people. They also confirmed it. So again, we're moving, this is getting already to our century. Now, before we get to our century, let's just backtrack. The Gra. So, what did the Gra feel about this topic? So, again, Ari Morgenstern, in his various books, and most recently in the volume I mentioned a few minutes ago, Hagro, based in Russia, he has a whole article showing how the Gra, it seems clear, believed that there was such a thing as Aseres HaShvatim, and it's crucial for the Aseres HaShvatim, they have to come in order for the Gula to begin. That is what the Gra held. We have this from different pieces in the Gra throughout the Gra's writings in different places on Nach, that he brings down this article. Now, Rav Avram ben Hagra also discusses this. Now, Rav Avram ben Hagra was a tragic figure in the sense that he's very not known. People say, which makes sense, that he was just, he had the wrong father in a sense, because his father was so famous, so no one ever heard of this son. Similar to what people say to Avram ben Arambam, had he had a different father, he would have been much more famous. Be that as may, Avram ben Arambam was Avram ben Hagra was a tremendous person, not your typical run-of-the-mill gadol, very well versed in all areas of Torah, and there has been recent write-ups on him, again, in the volume of Hagro Beis Midrashai by Hanan Mack, and earlier in the volumes of the Yeshurun, volume 4 and 5, there's some interesting articles about him. But there's still much work has to be done about him. Now, one of the things, he wrote many different songs. One of the things he wrote was a pirush on davening. Not the complete davening, but at least it was on Brefus Kriyishma and Shmein Esrei. Now, it's printed in the Siddur Hagra, known as Ishei Yisroel, by Rabbi Yitzchak Moltzer. Now, Yitzchak Moltzer was also, interestingly enough, is not so well known who he is. He was a Talmud Chaver, a very close Talmud of Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. Towards the end of his life, he made Aliyah to Yisroel. And he authored a very important work in Hilchos Shabbos. Anyone who learns Hilchos Shabbos is very familiar with it, called Shvisas HaShabbos. And Shvisas HaShabbos is quoted literally almost every page in perhaps the most famous work on Hilchos Shabbos, and most used work on Hilchos Shabbos today. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. Shin Shin is the abbreviation. Many people don't know what the abbreviation is. It's Shvisas HaShabbos. Hey Shin Shin. Now, Rav Yitzchak Molten, the Sefer Shvisas HaShabbos, a beautiful Sefer. It's full of Bekiyas, Iyun, all types of Torah. He was, unfortunately, didn't finish all the Malachas, but the Malachas that he did do, he did an incredible, thorough job. Now, what's famous, what's interesting is, a little ironic, is at that time when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he asked the Gedolim, is there anyone that they recommend that he could speak over or discuss some of the sugyas with? So they recommend him, a young person at that time, that Tzipi Yisrael Frank, who ended up turning out to be the one of the Gedolei Hadar in Sak Halacha in Yerushalayim, the past 50 years. Now, Tzipi Yisrael Frank, now, what's interesting is that people don't realize, they think that Rav Tzipi Yisrael Frank is the older person and Yitzchak Molten is the younger person. They don't realize that he was much older than him, and he was a big gadol in his time. Now, he printed a siddur, Ishei Yisrael. Now, Ishei Yisrael is supposed to be Nusach of the Gra, with Perushim of the Gra, and it has in it a Maisa Rav and a Keser Reish, all different things from the Gra. Now, in there is a sefer, there's a Perush Avnei Eliyahu. Now, it's not clear, Avnei Eliyahu, a lot of times, is the Gra, or Likutim from the Gra, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's Rabbi Avram ben Hagra. Now, Shemoneh Esrei, again, it's also unclear because it's split up. In some parts of the Siddur, it's Rabbi Avram ben Hagra. The Pirush on Shemoneh Esrei is in Tefillah Shacharis. Other places, it's in, I think, Tefillah Rosh Hashanah. Now, this Pirush that Rabbi Avram ben Hagra wrote on Tefila, part of it was done in one of the recent Yeshurins, but never the work was never finished, to put together all of Rav Ramana Gra's stuff on Daven. Now again, here in the Bracha of Tkav HaShofar, so Rav Ramana Gra talks about Tkav HaShofar, Yisein Shema Esrei, Gadol Hei Rusinu, B'sol Neitz Tkav HaShofar, Yisinu, Tkav Tzeinu Yachad, Mi'arba Kampai Sa'ar. So there's a lot of things that are going on. There's a Tkav HaShofar. Then we have the Kavitz Galatzenu, the Kavitzenu Yachad, Me'arba Kamfezar. So he mentions that talking about is three different Galuses, and the Jews have to come from A, from the Sambatim. Who are these people? The Aseres HaShvatim. Who are the Aseres HaShvatim? They were Gal many years ago, and they have their own kings. When Mashiach comes, first who's going to come? The Aseres HaShvatim. Interestingly enough, when he talks about them, he says that they only have Perush B'Ksav, not Perush Rav Peh. How do we know this? From Eldad HaDani and the Mordechai in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin, which is what we discussed last week. Then he talks about the Sambatim, those that are behind the Nar Sambatim, that we know about. That the Radvaz talks about that the Yair man Kama Lachim. Now that fits into what we discussed last week, that if they're the Ethiopian Jews. So now Lachin Amat Tkar Shayfer Galu Chayir Seinu Aisim Shagalu Achayri Ari Chayishav Shiatsu Chayir. There's some Ethiopians go to say, "No, those are the people that are behind the river," which the Sambatian, and he says where it is. Interestingly enough, he wrote a work. Passively wrote a work on geography, so he also knew geography. And the point is that you see from the way he's explaining, it's worth it to take a look inside to see exactly how it explains every word in the bracha. But we see Aseres HaShvatim is an important thing that they have to come back. See that he mentions Sambatim as a fact, and he believes Eldad HaDani as a fact. Okay. Now, that is for the first part of the Beis Medrash HaGra. Now, there's a very interesting part of this story with the Talmidei HaGra on this topic. And that is Rabbi Yisrael Shklover. Rabbi Yisrael Shklover, famous author of the famous work Pas HaShulchan, also wrote a work Taklan Chazetan and Yerushalmi. He was a Talmud of the Gra. Okay, if you want to know exactly which years he was a Talmud, if he's from the very end, you could check it out in the work of Eliyahu on the Gra. But he also he made it to Eretz Yisrael. He was living in Tzfas. Now, again, here, Aryeh Morgenstern in the article on Hagorah Beis Midrashai and his various svarim on the topic, the most, such as Gula B'Derech HaTeva, he has the lengthiest piece on the topic. He has a letter printed from Rabbi Yisrael Shklov to the Aseres HaShvatim. Now, this letter, just to give a, he wrote a letter to the Aseres HaShvatim, and we have the letter. It's printed also by Ram Yari and his Igera Aseres Yisrael. This letter is full of very interesting things. But just to mention very quickly, he says, we know that Aseres HaShvatim is true. How do we know? Again, El Radani, Maisag Damas. Those are two of his stories that we know. And then he brings some other sources that, how we know that Aseres HaShvatim were true. Now, so, but this, that Elder, sorry, but this Elder Hadani Sefer plays a very important role in Rishol Shklov's letter to them. And that is as follows. And the reason is as follows. There was a controversy in the times of the Beis Yosef, a little before. The Beis Yosef was involved, and say he was, in, as I'll see in a second, but there was a, it was known as the Smicha controversy. It's not like it's the place between the Mari Bei Rav and the Maral Bach, where the Smicha, they wanted to reinstitute Smicha. Why do they want to reinstitute Smicha? Because if they reinstitute Smicha, then they could, for example, give classes. And there was heavy opposition in the time, and there was a very big controversy between the Maral Bach and the Mari Bei Rav on the topic. The Beis Yosef was a musmach, one of the people that got Smicha from the Mari Bei Rav, and one of the points of the controversy between Mari Bei Rav and Maral Bach was about if it's possible to reinstitute Smicha. It was revolving around the Rambam and Perashat Mishnayos, and the Rambam sheet in general on the topic, if we could reinstitute Smicha. Now, I'm sorry if we... If it's all right, I'm just going to go for a few more minutes because we started late due to the fact that the mic was not, the video was not able to work. That's, if there's a problem, just chat in. Okay, we'll finish in a few more minutes. Now, basically, so the Rambam and Perashat Mishnayos and the Yad Chazaka, the question was, it seems from the Rambam that it is, we do not have to wait for Mashiach to reinstitute Smicha. As a matter of fact, some people held, and that was what was going on in the controversy between Mari Bei Rav and the Maral Bach, that it might even help bring Mashiach earlier if we have Beis Din Smuchim. Now, in the end, in the times of Maral Bach and Mari Bei Rav, it did not take off. In order to understand the whole Machlokes, if one's interested, you can see the article from Jacob Katz on the topic, both in English and Hebrew. It's one is in the book Halacha VeKabbalah, and also in the Divine Law from Jacob Katz, the translated articles. Anyway, so it revolved around the Rambam Perashat Mishnayos from the beginning of Sanhedrin, and the Rambam seems to have held that it is possible, if everyone agrees, that we could reinstitute Smicha today. After the Mari Bei Rav and Maral Bach, one of the people that decided that there's a way to do Smicha, but with a different way, not coming on to the Rambam, was Rabbi Yisrael Shklover. He held that, according to Elder Hadani, that they have in the Beis Din of the Elder Hadani claim that the Beis Din of his of the Aseres HaShvatim, they pass him on Dinei Knesset. And this we saw last week when we read the when we read about Elder Hadani. So he said, we'll get Musmachin from all the way back in time when Smicha was still possible, then pull out on the hold. Even if you say the Rambam changes mind, or even if you hold you don't hold like the Rambam, then we could reinstitute smicha. So he was very interested in getting these people, and he felt this is also, again, going to have something to speed up the gula. This is what Rishal Shklover did. He wrote to the Aseres HaShvatim, a whole letter, which, as I said, is printed in a bunch of places, and he even sent them certain things of Kabbalah from the Gra that he said even Rishayim didn't know these secrets, but I'm sending it to you. Which is interesting because, as I mentioned from the Ramchal's Magid claimed that they knew Kabbalah. They have Kabbalah, and okay, maybe they didn't know these secrets, okay. And that's what happened, and Rishol Shklover also sent people to find them. Now, we don't know, as far as we know, they never tracked down their Aseres HaShvatim. Okay, we move on, as I mentioned, okay, now back, we mentioned to us, Arad, the evidence, the Rabbi Yaakov Sapir. In 1899, there was a fellow that decided that he's going to go look for the Aseres HaShvatim. His name was Rabbi Horowitz. And this fellow was not a fellow, he was Rosh Yeshiva of the Shari Shemayim Yeshiva, which was learning Kabbalah, which is a Kabbalah Yeshiva. Sorry, one other thing back on the smicha discussion. This smicha controversy is not in the aspect of the Rishol Shklover. This Rishol Shklover in the aspect of smicha is a whole new angle in the discussion, but on the Rambam angle, it was a few times in this century, and even I believe very recently, there's been this heavy discussion of reinstituting the smicha concept. One wants to see a great overview on the discussion. You could see in the Sefer Hilchas Medina, which recently also became very controversial, from the Tzitz Eliezer, an excellent overview where he discusses everything on the topic from the Sugyas, from the Rishayim, the Achronim, and letters that he wrote to Rabbi Uziel and Rabbi Maimon. Rabbi Maimon wrote a whole Sefer on it also, where he was involved in trying to reinstitute Smicha. They go through all the different Sugyas, and this Rambam, and the Rav, and the Marabach, play a big role, but the Rabbi Skosh glove angle, I did not see mentioned it. Interestingly enough, this Rabbi Skosh glover angle has nothing to do with the Gra, and he didn't say anywhere that he's doing with the Gra. Although, there are those that say that the Gra, the reason why he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, we know the famous discussion, why the Gra wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, why he wanted to come to Yisrael, and why in the end he decided not to come to Eretz Yisrael. Again, the reason was, there were many reasons given. One of the reasons given is because he wanted to reinstitute the smicha. Now, there is no connection, even though we did mention that the Gra was into the Aseres HaShvatim. We do not have any sources to say that it was the same reason as the Rishol Shklover, that he was trying to find the Aseres HaShvatim and write to the Aseres HaShvatim, and that was how he was going to reinstitute smicha. As far as we understand, it was more like that he held like the Rambam. And just like the Rambam, according to those that held that he could learn from the Rambam, that smicha is, it's possible, if everyone agrees, to reinstitute smicha. So it seems that's what the Gra held. If you want to read all about it, there's also a lot written on it, but a nice collection on the discussion was written by Eliyahu in the last volume of the Gra, in one of the last chapters, he has a whole discussion about it. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we'll stop here, and hopefully next week we'll finish with Aseres HaShvatim. We'll just mention this last piece that I start to talk about, this Rabbi Horowitz and in 1899, and about his trip. And to end off with the discussion, why today we have not yet discovered the Sambatian and the Aseres HaShvatim. We'll just discuss it for a few minutes, and then we'll move on to one of the most famous people that hits into another topic of ours, hopefully, which is David HaRuveni and Rishlaim HaMolchai. David HaRuveni, who also claimed that he was from Shevet Dan. Again, using the story of Elder Hadani, Aseres HaShvatim, that's where he built into. Eventually he became known as he claimed he's Mashiach, possibly. And we'll discuss that, hopefully, next time. Sorry for starting very late. Later than normal, but there was some problem. The video camera was not working. Any questions you can ask now or send to my email at eliezerbrot@gmail.com. And once again, thank you so much for listening and for your time.